If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of 2 Peter, chapter 2 and verse 15. I'm sorry, 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 2:15. Boy, you can tell I'm about half here today. Well, Gene and I and Joy were talking earlier about biscuits and gravy. And now I've been getting my mind on some biscuits and gravy, so I think after church I'm going to have to go get biscuits and gravy. And those of you that can, I'd like to ask you to stand as I read from God's Word. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. And God, I pray that you will speak to us in a mighty way today, Father, that God, in our hearts, we will be moved to study your word, to read it daily, that we will memorize it, that we will make it such a part of our life that we will grow abundantly. And God, as I preach this message, let every word come straight from you, dear God, and nothing from my thoughts or my flesh, but let it all be from thy Holy Spirit, Lord God. And we give you the honor, the glory, and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I got my notes a little bit backward. The one point I'm supposed to preach first, I put it last, so I realized that this morning too. But that's okay. We're going to make it. Now, a couple weeks ago when I preached on the importance of growing in God's Word, I just basically want to highlight this, that I talked about the importance of getting in the Word daily, because when we get into God's Word daily, how it can change our life, how it can change our outlook, the supernatural power that His Word holds that can take, you know, the what we would call maybe the weakest Christian and make them into the greatest warrior for Christ. And today, what I want to look at today is I want to talk about sowing and to grow. So in sowing, once we learn God's Word and the Scriptures, God will allow us to help others. Now if we're going to help somebody else in need, then we've got to know what the Word says, and we got to know where to find the Word. Now, I talked about that a couple weeks ago, too. The more we get into the Word and study it, boy, there's some people who can just really pop off them verses. I don't have that memory. Now, years ago, I did have that memory. I could memorize and tell you where, but as I've gotten older, I have to go back and just look it up to tell you what it is. And I guess part of aging process, but I'm not going to make no excuses either. I just need to start memorizing again. But in order to help somebody out, we've got to know what we're talking about. I've heard some people, you know, before try to explain the Bible, and they really didn't. They really hadn't gotten into the Word and hadn't really prayed a lot. And I felt like, you know, I was riding a bike with flat tires. It, kind of the experience is how I felt. And I thought, boy, and I've told Janine before, I said, we went to a revival. Some friends invited us, and we went, and I just told Janine, I said, I'm sorry, but I don't want to come back and listen to this person unless they've gotten into that Word, because all we did was hear about their past and what they used to do in their old life. And I said, I don't want to hear that. You know, so as Christian people, there's a world out there of others that are hurting and going through a variety of needs that we don't even know about. As I said, you know, my best friend passed away Thursday, and his wife doesn't work. She's on disability, and they got there's some challenges ahead for them. But you know, this is one thing I know and I believe, that what God's Word says about taking care of our needs according to His riches and glory, that I know that God is going to use either myself or He's going to put some other Christian people in their path. But I will say, Lord, whatever I can do to help that family then put me there and you tell me what you want me to do and how I can reach out and how I could be a witness to them. Because right now, you know, they're going to have expenses. They're going to have, I don't know all what that they're going to, but you know, God is good and God will provide. But also aside of that, it's always good, isn't it? You know, I wanted to come and see Milton, but I know they requested really no visitors. But it just kind of ached in my heart. I wanted so bad to go to the hospital over at Heron at rehab, and I just wanted to be able to give my buddy a hug and hold his hand and pray for him. But this I'll tell you, he's been on my heart, he's been on my mind, and Corrine has, and Janine and I have been praying for him. And even though we weren't able to be there, I think in the spirit they know everybody that loves them, that was praying for them, and that's a way of giving service to someone else to help them out, is by praying or sending food. But I have known in my life that we have got to sow seeds. And you know, we can't sow seeds that we don't have. How many of you have ever tried to plant a garden of vegetables and you didn't plant a seed, but you'd water the ground and wait for something to grow? It's kind of like if you don't know God's Word, then you got nothing to sow with. But when we take God's Word and we take and share it with other people, then that seed has been sown. And when that seed has been sown, we know that God will provide the resources for that seed to manifest, for it to break open, and for it to grow into something beautiful. I have watched time and time again that, you know, I've been praying for somebody. I mean, for so many years, you know, I prayed for my mother-in-law. She was a devout Catholic. And you know, but she had never taken the steps. She had never received Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior, according to the Bible, of getting to heaven. And I would share the Word with her, and she would turn her face away from me. And there were some times I got pretty frustrated, and I would tell Janine when we left her mom and dad's, I said, it's aggravating, you know, because in my heart, I want to hear her say that prayer. And then I remember one night praying that the Lord said to me, I won't always use you to reach somebody else. So anyway, we continued to serve Janine's mom. We were sowing seeds. We would go over, we'd take her food after her dad died even. We would go over and do things for her mom. And when her mom physically became unable to do stuff, we would go over and help mow the yard, weed eat, to make her place look beautiful. And the glorious joy out of it all was to go inside the house and receive the biggest hug. Now, used to, she'd make a big glamorous dinner and have blueberry turnovers. Now, I tell you right there, that was it for me. I told Janine, let's go think of something to do for Mom so she'll cook us dinner. Sometimes I push the envelope a little. But I remember when she couldn't do any of that, what a joy it was to go and serve my mother-in-law, because I loved those hugs and those kisses. And boy, what I wouldn't give to have one of those right now, to have one of her hugs and kisses, because the way she touched my life. When we serve others, not only do we touch their life, but they touch our life in return in some way, shape, or form. Now, yesterday, another family we got to serve, good friends of mine again. Young lady had come down with cancer, 63 years old, passed away. And the family all come together. And her nephew, whom I had served with in ministry, preached the funeral service. And he's in a wheelchair because he's had foot and ankle surgery. And he was standing up at the pulpit preaching. But, you know, we got to hug each other's neck, and I got to see the family members that I hadn't seen in quite some time. And we just got to share and rejoice. And I was hoping to have sown seeds of joy in a time of sadness for them. One thing I want to point out is that we can't help others until we've learned it and understood it. So if we learn God's Word, if we take it into our hearts and we really know it, then we'll be able to share with other people. And you know what? There's going to be times in your life that you're going to go through a situation or a circumstance that maybe at the time you don't understand it, you don't know why you're there, but you know you're going through something and you're going to come out on the other side praising the Lord. You should be praising the Lord even while you're going through the situation. But you're going to praise the Lord on the other side. But you know why we go through a lot of the things we do? Because there's going to be a time when God's going to put somebody in your path who is going through the exact same thing that you went through. And guess who he's going to put there to minister to that person? You. I can't tell you how many times I've said, Lord, why me? And sometimes I've even felt the Lord say, why not you? And I said, well, I don't know, Lord. What are you doing? I've been through enough trials already. And the Lord says, well, I'm with you. Don't you believe my word? I'm with you. I'll never leave you, never forsake you. And every time I've gone through something, definitely God would put somebody in my path. And they've gone through pretty much the same thing. And I was able to, with the understanding I had, was able to invest in that person what God put in my heart. And later to have that person come back to me and say, I want to thank you because you touched my life. You brought a lot of joy. That's things I love to hear. That's what blesses my soul. 2 Timothy 2:2 says, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And 2 Timothy 3:14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And then I'm going to jump down to verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now, one thing I've been thankful for when I was in ministry enough. Now, when I started out in ministry, there's no way in the world that I could have taken somebody under my, what I would call under my wing, and teach them what it was like to be a pastor and go through the struggles or the joys or whatever. There's no way I could have. But I've had to take time in my life where I let the Lord work on me and form me and get me to a place in life that then I've had young men come to me, you know, 18, 19, maybe even 16, 17-year-olds saying, hey, I want to get into the ministry. I want to preach God's Word. And then God has given me the opportunity to sit down and really get into the heart of this person and find out if that's really where God's going to take them. And God has even put people in my path that I've got to help get started in the ministry. And basically by taking God's Word and inspiring them with that Word. And I'll tell you what, I've seen close friends and I've even seen some of these young people grow up and become some pretty fine ministers. But I never expect it back, but I always love to hear, thank you. There's a song that came out years ago called Thank You for Giving to the Lord, and it's by Ray Bolts. And in that song, it's talking about different people who had been an inspiration to somebody else. And in that song, they're talking about when this person died, got to heaven, and they met the person who had touched their life, and they said, thank you for giving to the Lord. I'm a life that was changed. So see, when God puts us in a path of somebody to help them, we're actually helping to change their life. God uses us as an instrument. We are God's tools. We're a family, and we're supposed to be here to lift up one another, to encourage one another. When somebody feels like they can't keep going, then we're the ones to get behind them and pray and say, I love you, I believe in you, and I'm here for you. If you need to talk, whatever it may be, I'm right here and I'm never going to leave your side. Because the more we push on and put into people, we're going to see God, but we have to do everything in love. And we have to do everything by God's direction and by God's leadership. That's the only way we're going to see an effective change in another person's life. I thank God for my grandpa sowing seeds into me. He sowed a lot into me because he knew I would be preaching one day, even though I refused it and told him, nope, I'm going to be a policeman like the rest of the family. That's what I'm going to do. And he says, well, what are you going to do when, you know, when you, I was, of course, young. I was probably about, I guess, Noel's age at that time. And he said, well, what are you going to do when you become a policeman? I said, I'm going to pull Granny over and write her tickets because she speeds all the time. So that was my choice. But anyway, when I got to the point in my life where I surrendered to the ministry, my grandfather was right there beside me, giving me love and encouragement. And you know what? If it hadn't have been for that man in my life, I thank God for putting him there. And I'm so thankful that he was a leader and an example to me. I studied that man's life. So see what we take in, the world is watching. They're going to look at the fruits of your labor. They're going to see what you're made of, what I'm made of. And they're going to see if what we say is the real deal. If this word is alive inside of us, if it's been planted, then it's going to bear some good fruit, right? It is. I'll tell you what, I 2 weeks ago, I was going into Carbondale as I passed Laura and Sarah's orchard place there. You know, all I could kept thinking of was fresh fruit. I thought, man, I just couldn't wait to get some good fresh fruit. And then I started thinking, you know, into the sermon, the words coming to me over the last few weeks, the things that the Lord put into me, and I thought, you know what? What we sow, when we sow good, we bear good fruit. We become something beautiful, and the Lord can take us and use us for any purpose. Like I've told you before, if anyone ever would have said that I'd been preaching, I would have said, you're crazy. Because number one, I was introverted. I didn't talk to nobody. I was kind of a scared backward kid. And now look at me. Stand before people and preach a lot. And God has opened so many avenues. And my life has been truly blessed. But every Sunday when I get to come to Bosque Dell and preach, I'm sowing the Word into myself and to anyone that's here. And I want to sow the Word the right way. So I want to know God's Word. I want to know God's Word inside and out. I want to know what I'm talking about. And I want people that are hearing the Word of God, I don't want people to listen to me, but I want them to listen to the Holy Spirit. Because when the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart, you're going to grow. You're going to be manifested in the Word of the Lord, and His love is going to just root up in your life, and it's going to change who you are. Now, like I said, the first time I ever preached a sermon, boy, I sat in that front pew scared to death because I had never preached before. And I got up behind that pulpit, and it sounded like a woodpecker was to get my knee. That was my knees, because I was scared. I was scared. And my knees was trembling, and I was holding myself up on that pulpit. And But anyway, I kept saying, Lord, let them sing another song or two. I'm not ready yet. And finally, I just felt the Lord tell me, I want you to just trust me. And boy, I tell you what, when the Lord speaks to your heart, it brings a calmness and a peace. I was able to get up in the pulpit and preach that first sermon and watched God do an amazing work that day. Now, the after sowing, we grow. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 says, "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby." Now, you know when a baby is little, what does it have to have?
Milk.
There you go. See, Noelle's got that down. Man. So, a baby has milk or formula, whatever the mother gives. And see, that baby has got to start some. He's got to start somewhere small. He's got to take something that his body can handle. But as he grows, as that child grows, you notice that that child can start taking on a little more solid food. And as that child gets a little older, it can eat a little bit more and different things and start taking on maybe some meat and vegetables as they get older to help them grow. And we take in all the good things like biscuits and gravy. You know, we take in all that to help us grow. Now, I don't know if biscuits and gravy is the healthiest thing to grow on, but I know I loved it as a kid. But as we grow physically, we become strong. And what's been put into us is what comes out. And so basically, what the Word of God is saying, as new babes in Christ, we start with the Word. I mean, we can't go out and start witnessing to everybody just right off the bat. But we, in this time of growing, we take in the Word of the Lord. And as we feed on this Word, it becomes a part of us. It takes a root and it nourishes not the physical body, but it nourishes the heart, the spirit of what God put inside of us. And as we grow on this Word, we become stronger. And then when God sees that we are getting to points in our life, He will lead us to places and He will lead us to do things that we never thought possible. Now, I use this as a little reference. When I was a kid, I had a thing that was called a big wheel because I didn't know how to ride a two-wheel bicycle. I would have fallen right over. But I had this big wheel. It was three wheels. It was made of plastic. And you get on that thing, and man, you could do stunts and tricks and slide all over. But after a while, them plastic wheels got wore down, and then they was no good to you. And my dad would put duct tape to give you a little grip. He'd say, "I ain't buying you another one, but we'll duct tape that wheel, boy, and we'll make it to where you can go on that wheel a little further." But I remember when I got off that big wheel, my dad had bought me a two-wheel bicycle and it had training wheels on it. And I was scared of it. I was. It was taller. That big wheel sat low to the ground. I felt comfortable because I was close to a solid surface. And then I got on that bicycle with them training wheels, and I didn't want to ride it. And my dad said, "Don't you like your bike?" I said, "Well, it's not that, Dad. I'm scared. I don't know." But you know what my dad did? My dad took me out in the driveway, and he said, "Look, son, I'm going to teach you how to ride that thing." Of course, I didn't tell you our driveway had an incline on it that kind of went down like that. I said, "Can we please start on the sidewalk, Dad?" I remember I was in first grade. And Dad, "All right, well, let's go out on the sidewalk." I could just see me just going out in the road. My parents told me never play in the road, so I thought, well. But I got on that training, on that bike with training wheels, and I started to ride it. And you know what happened? The more time I spent on it, the more comfortable I got with it. And I told my dad, "Well, we can sell my big wheel. Put it in the yard sale and sell it. I don't want it anymore." And then the day came, I told my dad, "I want to take them training wheels off because that's only a sissy would use them things. I want to learn how to ride on two wheels." And my mom and dad would get out there and they would teach me to balance. They would teach me to pedal and they would teach me to get my momentum and get going. Of course, mom and dad say, pedal, you're going to fall over. Because I wouldn't pedal. I'd be going, you know, this straight eyed. I'd look like a deer in the headlight, you know, grab hold of them handlebars and I'd fall over. But time and time again, my mom and dad were always an encouragement. And I knew that the next level would come. And then finally the day came, I got my own bigger. I was able to ride a two-wheel bike. And when I was in the second grade, mom and dad bought me a brand new bicycle, had a banana seat, had a speedometer and a little horn on it. and a flag. Me and my sister both got the same kind of same thing. And boy, I tell you what, I rode that bike. I thought I was Evel Knievel on a motorcycle. That's when I was a kid. But I'm saying all that to say this. When we take in the Word as an infant, we grow on it. It happens in stages. And when God sees that we're ready to go to the next stage, He'll give a little bit more. He'll give bigger things. He'll do more through us. He'll put us in situations we don't understand. But if we get tuned into the Holy Spirit and listen to what God's saying to us, then we will have understanding when we know this Word. And one thing I know about this Word is this Word is life. This Word is truth. This Word is full of promises. And I've never, ever seen God back down from one of His promises. My God has always been faithful. I'm going to read this last part and then I'm going to close here. Joshua, upon taking over after the death of Moses, said this in Joshua 1, 7 and 8. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. So, what's Joshua saying? Joshua's saying, get in that Word and take it and don't ever let it depart from your life. And know this Word so much that that's what you speak. And this is for this guy right here. Now, if anyone else gets something off this, that's great. But for this guy right here, I don't know how many times I wish that the Word of the Lord would come out of my mouth instead of something negative at times when I'm not feeling at my best. I'm a human. I'm not perfect because I'm a preacher. And I'm not on a pedestal up here because God's called me to preach. I'm down on the same level with everybody else. But I wish that the Word of the Lord, more loving and positive things would come out of my mouth at those times. But you know what? I'm a work in progress, and I'll never give up, and I'll never quit, and I'll never turn back. All I can do is say, Lord, strengthen my heart, and let Your Word come out of my mouth that I could be a blessing to somebody else. Now, if I had gotten in this pulpit this morning, and I just started making fun of people, or I just started saying a lot of negative things, how long would you want to listen to me? Not very long at all. Probably about 10 people pick me up, go to the door, and just right out in the middle of Bosque Del Road out there. May tie me to the train tracks, I don't know. But if that's what you listen to out of my mouth, they'd say, golly, I don't want to hear that guy. I didn't get nothing out of that. I feel 10 times worse than when I come in here. But that's not what I'm called to do. So I want to grow in the Word of the Lord. I'm still growing. And until the day I die, I will be growing, Sister Effie. I will be growing. And I don't want to stop growing. I want to continually find out more goodness of the Lord. I want to see more of the blessings that He has for me. So I'm going to continue to say, Lord, what do You want me to do today? See, when I get up, I don't say, Lord, what can I do tomorrow? Because it ain't even here. I'm not promised tomorrow. And I found out, you know, my buddy dying, he was a strong Christian. And you know what? I tell you what really helped me get over a lot of the heaviness I felt from his loss, from his passing. As I pictured him in heaven, running and jumping and just having the time of eternity, because that's what he's having right now. He loved the Lord, and boy, did he show it. He put it into his wife. He put it into his son. And I know that he put it into them that when this day came, those two would know how to stand. He sowed and they growed. Is growed a word? I think it is.
Yes.
Okay, Noel says it's a word. So they, Laura's saying, no, it's not a word. That's Arkansas. That's Arkansas English if you want to know what that is. But no, they've grown. They've grown. And I want to continue to grow until the day that I lay down and take my last breath, or like Amy's saying, I hear that sound. And boy, I hear that trumpet sound, I'm going to really be excited. I'm really going to be excited to go on and be with the Lord forever. But what I do here is what's most important right now. What kind of a witness? How did I grow in life? And how did I treat others? Did I do what everything the Lord wanted me to do? What kind of a witness was I? So, get into this word. Bring it to church with you. Take it out in when you go out into the highways and byways or neighborhoods, wherever, shopping malls or stores. Take the word with you and let it roll off of your tongue when you talk to people, because people will notice, and you never know whose life you'll change.